Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, Sean Rossap here to tell you about mybookie.ag. Yes, you can bet on professional wrestling. I know a lot of people watching this know that they have some insight. They've got a little bit of a heads up. And if you think that you know more than the odds makers, head over to mybookie.ag. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Get a $50 bonus with a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus with a $200 deposit. They have lines on upcoming shows for WWE, AEW, as well as all other sports. But leave it a little bit of extra if you feel very confident in the direction of some of the booking, the direction of some of the storylines. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.ag. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Please only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Mybookie.ag bringing you the best experience from the best. Mybookie.ag and the code FIGHTFUL.
Colliders assemble here on a Saturday night on the Fightful YouTube channel. Rick Uccino and Cresta the Star joining you here on September the 6th, and the build to All Out continues. You can say a lot of things, Cresta, about MJF, but the man is committed to his craft. Not even 24 hours after this man was married, he said, F that honeymoon. I got to go screw over Mark Briscoe real quick. I got to go to work. Honey, don't worry. I just got to pop in for a quick second. One little shove off the top rope. A couple of punches. We'll set a date for All Out. That gives me 2 weeks to go do whatever we're going to do together. And then I got to come back and start whooping that ass. MJF is a man who is committed to his craft. If I pulled something like that when I'm supposed to be on my honeymoon, fastest divorce in history. That's what would have happened to me. Cresta, how are you?
I just thought it was the layover. What better way to spend your 3 hours after taking a spirit because you wanted to be cheap to run in and screw over Mark Briscoe? What better honeymoon than that? I'm doing well. I'm excited. I'm here with you, Rick Uccino, Rick Vanilla, Cappuccino, baby. The best, honestly, Sports Illustrated writer, in case you guys don't know. The guy who said Becky Lynch is the greatest, him and SP3, in case you don't know.
That was mostly SP3, but I didn't disagree with him.
So I'm here to big you guys up because I'll be gone for 6 weeks. So
yeah. You taking that sabbatical. You taking that Pat McAfee sabbatical away from
I'm about to be injured. I can't come.
We're gonna miss you, but we're glad that you're here tonight. And speaking of SP3, he will be subbing in, because he is our resident substitute teacher. So he will be joining the panel, whether it's myself, Iridian, him, some combination of the two of us over the next 6 weeks. We will be here to break down Collision. So, which starting next week, I won't be here either, because it's my 11-year wedding anniversary next weekend. So, spoiler alert, it wasn't the fastest divorce ever, and somehow she hasn't gotten sick of me yet. So how's that for a tie-in to get the night started? Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We got C. Delgado 6. TK, MJF, who would you like to feud with? MJF, yes. Yeah. He just likes to, you know, straight up whoop everybody. Man, why not? Like I said, the man is fully committed. I know we have some humper chats as well. Cresta, we'll get to those throughout the entire day. I think we got one already.
Yes. We have one from Twin Van Blade saying, firstly, Large William, what are you doing? You gonna die. Agreed. Secondly, what's on the strip colliders? My guess is dog collar or a bull rope. I want dog collar though. And I think that means for the stipulation for the thing. I would assume it's a dog collar match knowing the Briscoes, but what do you think, Rick?
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet. They need something different. They need something. That's the thing, right? Because, you know, as we found out, we're already getting a coffin match on this show as well. So both of those matches are going to be incredibly violent, incredibly personal. Right up Cresta's alley, which is why she's taking a break for 6 weeks. So yeah, I want to see something that has a bit of a specific and unique stipulation to it. So yeah, give me that dog collar match. I think that would make a ton of sense.
I want to apologize to Van Twinblade. I really say your name wrong every time. I do say Twin Van Blade or some combination of that. D is for Lysdexia, and that's what I have. I would like to apologize.
Well, she makes a habit out of, you know, calling people by the wrong names. We got a super chat here from Vala. Hey, Cresta and Blake Christian. Oh, shit. That's Rick Uccino. That's a vanilla fumble on me.
You know
one of these days, I got to find Blake Christian, and we're going to do the Spider-Man pose. And all of about three people are going to pop on that or even understand the reference. But I'm going to do it just for Christa.
At this point, the worst that could happen is that you get an interview with Blake Christian. Oh, no. True. So terrible.
All right. Let's keep those super chats and humper chats coming in. We'll read every single one of them before we get off the air tonight. Let's dive into the show. We open up. Jon Moxley defeating Daniel Garcia once again. I thought this was a really, really strong back and forth matchup. I loved that Daniel was not only like matching Moxley's like trademark intensity throughout the entire match, step for step, but he was really kind of taking it to the next level and trying to beat Moxley at his own game. Didn't work. He kicked out of the Death Rider. He was able to get out of the Bulldog choke, but Moxley was able to use his veteran skills, roll him up, get him down for a quick three count. And you could see immediately after this match what that loss did to Daniel Garcia. There was that look in his eyes, and it was defeat. He was glazed over. He shoves Daddy Magic away. He rips the microphone out of Tony Schiavone's hand when Tony tries to, you know, give him the attaboy. You gave it a great performance again, kid. And he's like, F that. I've been doing nothing but great performances for 5 years. I've been good, but I ain't been good enough. They are definitely teasing some kind of a change here for Daniel Garcia. I think it's needed. I don't know what it's going to be, but my interest is piqued. Cresta, what did you think of our opening match and segment here?
I have to give a special shout out to those two pile drivers. One that Garcia did to Jon Moxley on the apron. That was nasty, but that was in response to one that Moxley did to him in the middle of the ring. I cannot help but feel for Daniel Garcia, because he made a very good point post-match and he said, it's been great performances, like you said, but sometimes good isn't good enough. And this reminds me when people were doing the, you're a wrestler. So I do think there is a darker side to Daniel Garcia. I don't know if Death Riders is the way to go. Death Riders, to me, hasn't been boring since they no longer have the title. So I'm interested to see what Death Riders would do with him. But I don't know how we get there. And I'm sports intrigued, if I'm being quite honest. I don't know how we get there.
We got Wheeler Yuta trying to recruit.
Not Wheeler Yuta. Get out of here, Wheeler Yuta. Go cut your hair.
See, it's interesting to me because they tried the Daniel Garcia in a group thing before, and it worked to a certain point, and people were clamoring for that man to get out of the grips of Chris Jericho and break out on his own, and he finally did that, and then he made a name for himself in the C2, but he did that by losing. He has continuously like been able to elevate himself still through his losses, but now it's kind of like it's reached that ceiling, that, you know, that that brick wall. So let's see what they can come up with. Maybe putting him under the tutelage of John Moxley is another little project there. Cause and we'll get to it. I liked a lot of what John Moxley had to say tonight. And I kind of wish it was the stuff that he had been saying while he was the champion. Cause I feel like we kind of got a better look into what his motivations are.
Agreed with that.
But you know, if it's like he wants to surround himself with people who just want to master the craft and aren't so concerned with things like winning titles and, you know, having that validation from other people, whether it be fans or their colleagues, taking somebody like Daniel Garcia under his wing could be an interesting little project for Moxley to take while he is currently out of the AEW title picture. So it's going to be interesting to see what they ultimately end up doing.
I don't hate that idea. My only concern is that, like, Daniel Garcia doesn't need wrestling tutelage. If tonight's match is anything to go by, he doesn't need wrestling tutelage. If anything, he might need Don Callis' family. You need something to make you a star and push you over the edge. Don Callis got a whole foster home at this point.
He got an army. What are you talking about?
He's got a starting lineup of the, what's that on your head? The Bengals? He could start his own Bengals.
Hey, we could use some defensive line help. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, well, I have a feeling we're going to find out relatively soon, but I do think whatever they come up with, it's going to break Daddy Magic. It's going to be sad. Like, I feel like there's going to have to be a heel turn here, a heel element here. Everybody loves Daddy Magic, and the look in his eyes tonight, to me, when he got shoved, was selling like, oh, damn, this is going to happen. We got to have a breakthrough here, aren't we?
When he was looking at Danny while he was saying what he was saying, because you could see that understanding of like, damn, you're going to kill me, but I'm going to ride or die with you. You know what I mean? That's a real friend. It's like when Jesus knew Judas was going to kill him, he still kissed him anyway. I know what's about to happen. I've been down this road before, pal. I feel bad for Daddy Magic because Daddy Magic has been the guy in his side. I hope, and maybe this is my being a fan, there's a way to make it where Danny can still turn and not turn on Daddy Magic. But I think Daddy Magic is going to have to be, if you really want to turn, you got to kill him. I'm sorry.
And that's the thing that would give Daddy Magic then, you know, the opportunity to kind of showcase how loyal he is to Danny. Like, even if Danny turns on him, you know, he's going to be that guy who's like, no, they're still good in you. We'll turn this into a Star Wars thing. It's like, no, they're still good in you. I know it. And, you know, I'm going to bring your ass back. And we'll go full Luke Skywalker with this thing if we need to. I bet that's...
You're not lying. Well, technically, this is a good segue into the comment that I read from Lion. And Marina helped so much making the moment special. Because if you think about it in that regards, like, I can still see good in you. And Marina's like, yeah, but be violent. Why be good?
Why be good when you can, like, just whoop that ass and win some matches?
Two nights in a row, we've had some good taglines. Fightful Select, cheaper than crack, and why be good? Sean said that.
I know he did. we had Big Bill and Brian Keith cut a backstage promo tonight. And look, they had me when they started ripping the city of Philadelphia for having, you know, athletes who spit on people and a bunch of Karens who are stealing baseballs from kids.
I saw that clip and it popped me when he said that.
Oh my God. That was the first thing my wife showed me when I woke up this morning. She's like, can you believe this? And I'm like, yeah, I can. People are assholes.
I can. Like,
yes, I can. I cover the news for a living. I know how much people can be assholes. I know. But he also spoke about how they have false icons, talking about Rocky, all this, that, and the other thing. And then he starts talking about how he's from a real city, New York, where real tough guys are made. And he starts talking about this dude who hasn't been around for a while. And I'm like, yo, Big Bill, where are we going with this? What are we talking about? Where are we going with this? And then he calls out Eddie M.F.N. Kingston, who has been working his way back for over a year now after a devastating knee injury. Man, I popped when he said Eddie Kingston's name tonight. I don't know when it's gonna happen. If we get him at All Out, let's go. He's been sorely missed.
I thought he was talking about Chris Jericho at first. Well, Chris Jericho is Canadian. But he is associated with New York. I don't know how he's associated with New York, but I know he's associated with New York. So I was like, and he hasn't been around, and this guy's running his mouth. I'm like, you know what? This is a good way to clear up the Jericho's going to WWE rumors. But when he called out Eddie Kingston, my soul left my body. I literally was like, I'm so happy. I love you, Big Bill. Eddie Kingston is going to murder you. He's going to chop you down like the redwood that you are. Yikes. I don't want that for you. But also, I will be very sports entertained. I will be on break, but I will be watching that.
Yeah, no, just the fact that the mere mention of it, like, yes, Eddie Kingston will probably beat the crap out of Big Bill. Even though I don't know how anybody can beat the crap out of Big Bill. Like, that dude is a brick shit house. Like, just that in real life, that dude should just be murdering people like every week. Like, standing next to that man, it's impressive. He's got everything you would want.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I keep waiting for the day when he gets finally elevated up that card.
Big Bill push.
Yeah, the Big Bill push. And he's got people behind him too, but hey, they're going to be behind Eddie Kingston when that match happens. You can guarantee that.
I kind of feel bad because it's one of those things where it's like you're finally getting over Big Bill, and I think you're fantastic. But what's a great way to stop your babyface push? Briscoe? Eddie Kingston, because no matter what you do, I'm cheering for Eddie Kingston. There's a few wrestlers that if you put them together, I'd rather turn off the TV because I don't want to see them verse each other. You know what I mean? Yep. And I'm so sorry. Eddie Kingston's going to get my vote 9 times out of 10.
I'm excited he's coming back. I'm very, very excited he's coming back. We had FTR defeat Adam Priest and Dynamite Kid Tommy Billington tonight. I thought this was a pretty good matchup. Dax and Cash hit Power and Glory on Priest to pick up the win. Dax keeps up the pressure afterwards, locks in a submission hold until, you know, Big Stoke finally calls him off. And then Stokely with the nose tape on, just looking like a total nerd this week, said that FTR is going to end Coping Christian in 2 weeks at All Out. I thought this was okay. It served its purpose tonight, but they did give Adam Priest and Dynamite Kid a chance to kind of shine a little bit in this match as well.
I was sports entertained. This match reminded me of those late 1980s, early 1990s match where think more like no nonsense. I'm here out to stretch these guys. And this isn't your regular enhancement talent match. These guys got their jokes off. They got their hidden, if you will. This match, I was very sports entertained, but I also am an FTR stan. When they're in their heel bag, they're so good. They don't need a mouthpiece, but Stokely is the best person to put with them because he's the worst. He's the worst in the most positive way.
In the best way possible, yes. Yeah.
In the best way possible, Stokely is the worst. And to me, Dax and Cash are the worst in the sense like, yo, just take my lunch money. You ain't got to beat me up. Stokely makes it a little funny. He's like, at least I laugh before you shove me in a locker, I guess.
I don't want to gloss over FTR and the work that they do, but I'm just really, really anxious to get to the next segment that we saw. We saw the Outrunners out in the middle of the jungle. They're finding their inner peace. They're rebuilding themselves. And then all of a sudden they start hearing some noises. They start getting surrounded by these weird looking dudes kind of dressed as birds. And I'll be honest. It didn't hit me at first. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? It didn't hit me. And then when Dalton Castle showed up, I'm just immediately arms in the air. I'm like, we getting an Eddie Kingston tease and a Dalton Castle return on the same night on a Saturday in September. Tony Khan, you son of a bitch. You brought me in with that one. I have no idea if this is going to work. Outrunners and Dalton Castle, but you have my attention and I am all on board 100%. Yes, bring it on. I love Dalton Castle. I was so mad and sad when he got hurt. Now that he's coming back, yes, sign me the hell up.
This is so 1991, 92, the Rambo reference. And then Dalton Castle, I did not know I needed this until they were together. I started singing NSYNC, "You're All I Ever Wanted." This was so good. Like, there's no way to describe how good of a wrestler Dalton Castle is, because he dresses like Liberace. On the other hand, you got guys who are stuck in Blockbuster 1992. And yeah, it just works. It just works. I don't know how else to describe it. I love pro wrestling. This is why I watch pro wrestling.
Apparently the Outrunners were part of the boys at one point in Ring of Honor. So they got a little history there. I wasn't aware of that. I don't get a chance to watch a ton of Ring of Honor, so I appreciate our great people in the chat for bringing this up. So nice to know they have a little. Clearly they made it feel like they knew each other. They did have a little bit of history, so if you were aware of that, cool, great, thank you for filling me in. There's only so much time out of the week that I get to watch professional wrestling, and I'm sorry, Thursday is my off day. That's my me day. That is my Cresta I need a break day, is Thursday night. So yeah, that's just where that falls on that. So I'm looking forward to this. I want Dalton Castle back on my TV.
Yes.
Immediately. All right, let's hop into that John Moxley promo. Former AEW World Champion says he genuinely has no clue what everyone thinks he has, but they either want it or they want to burn it all down. He says, I'm speaking, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm paraphrasing here. He says he's just an asshole who wants to see AEW be built around the masters of their craft, not those who seek validation by winning title belts. He says title belts are just a small thing in a much larger picture. And, you know, started talking about Darby Allin, who said he wants to take everything from John Moxley. He's like, what the hell are you going to take from me? And it was at this point that I just started seeing, like, and I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but it's at this point that I just started seeing Renee Paquette in a body bag. And I'm like, oh, please don't tell me that that's the direction that we're going to be going here. Exactly. Orion Ben 666. We're on the same damn page. I'm like, I see this happening on an episode of Dynamite or an episode of Collision. I see this happening, and I really hope that that's not the setup for this. But also, I'm sadistic, and I kind of hope that is the setup that we see for this as well. Because that is the one thing. That is the one thing that Darby Allin could, quote unquote, take from him if they were to go that direction.
There are two people in AEW that are very precious babies, Renee and Aubrey Edwards. So whenever I see,
you're gonna say RJ City.
I mean, in some scenarios, if RJ City went through a table, I'd be like, damn. But you know what? I could see it. I could see it. Damn it, RJ. Go to the damn table. But I could see it. If you put Renee through a table, it's like, yo, don't do that. Same thing if Aubrey takes a ref bump. Don't. Yeah. But that is unfortunately what I thought too. I'm like, what does Mox have that they don't, that they want so bad? Don't y'all touch Renee. I don't think Darby would touch Renee. But if the shoe was on the other foot and Renee was Darby's wife, Moxley would absolutely abduct Renee. So maybe Darby has to think like this. We do have a Humper Chat that kind of ties into everything we just spoke about, from Orion Ben saying, coffin match, dog collar match, not all out. It's Rick's 11th honeymoon. LOL, a great night of potential murder to send Cresta off. Thank you. Colliding is forever. All hail the returning craziness. Emmy, Dalton Castle, and Eddie. That is a lot of crazy people. That's yes, a good point.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We also have Van Twinblade sending in a super chat. It says, Mox's promo was 10 out of 10. What can you take that I got? Self-deprecating for 3 minutes.
That's true.
10 out of 10. Darby will be your kid's fave and you will hate it, Mox. Here's the thing with the Mox. Here is Renee saving grace in this situation. Moxley has been a heel for how long? Renee is still beloved by everybody, including Darby Allin. So, like, with Darby being the babyface in this situation and him having a good relationship with Renee, I don't see them act like if they were to try that, I just don't know how it would come across, right? Because it's like,
yeah,
it's a dynamic that they just haven't really explored, you know, with. They've kind of touched on it here or there, right? Like, you'll have Hangman Adam Page be like, you know, talking to him, it's like, yes, I want to say some things, but I'm not gonna do it to you because of your relationship to Moxley. So they've teased it, they've hinted at it, they haven't shied away from the fact that they're a married couple, but at the same time, Renee has always been remarkable, lovely, everybody loves her, and everybody's like, F you, John, get the hell off my screen. So they've been able to keep those separated. So I don't see how that would work. But still, at the same time, she is that one thing. She is that one thing. Regardless, Moxley promised to bury Darby Allin in the ground when he faces him at All Out. And then that was later made into the coffin match. We had a absolute barn burner of an 8-women all-star tag team match tonight. Tony Storm, Chris Statlander, Harley Cameron, Mina Shirakawa, Toxic Triangle, Megan Bain. I was a happy guy. Statlander picks up the win for her team. Whew. If Julia Hart did not have a headache the second her face hit the mat on that Alabama Slam, she is certainly feeling it right now after the adrenaline wore off. That looked rough. That looked stiff. And then Statlander, interestingly enough, uses Wheeler Yuta's seatbelt pinning combination to pin Julia Hart, even though I'm pretty sure she didn't need to, because I'm pretty sure she knocked that poor woman out. She picks up the win here. I love this match, and it continues to get more and more interesting with what Statlander and Wheeler Yuta is trying to do with her, trying to convert her, trying to recruit her, whatever ultimately ends up happening. She is consistently trying to fight it off. Statlander got the win here. I do want to say Mina Shirakawa showed out in this matchup. This was her match tonight. I thought she was absolutely spectacular. But what did you make of everything up until the final bell? We'll talk about the post stuff coming up here in a minute.
Loved everyone's gear. Let me say that. I loved everyone's gear. I did. I popped. Especially Megan Bain's gear. Oh, that teal on her skin. Anywho, I really thought Sky Blue was doing her big one this match too. Mina really put in a lot of the work, but I also want to give Sky Blue her flowers. I feel like that rising knee she had on. Hold on, let me look at my notes so I'm not wrong. On from Sky Blue on Mina was gnarly. It sounded nasty. I really enjoyed this match. I think that for each, to give is to get, and to get is to give. And if Danny has to do a sacrifice of Daddy Magic, Harley Cameron has to be sacrificed to the blood gods for the eventual turn. And okay. I don't want that. Harley's improvement, her character, the way people popped for her when she came out of the crowd. I do not want Marina Shafir to break open her neck and drink her blood. But that's what's going to happen. And I don't know how it's going to stop. I'm afraid of Marina Shafir, okay? I'm afraid. I'm a no Marina Shafir slander over here, pal. I'm just saying. Hey, poor Harley is going to die.
She would whoop my ass.
Everyone in this chat's ass.
I'm still like, I'm still holding out to think that Chris Statlander is ultimately going to turn them down. Mm-hmm. And then Shayna Baszler shows up like that. That is still to me my pipe dream of an end game. I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to happen. But they have done so much of the back and forth with Chris Statlander. I would really like them to kind of keep that dynamic of her being a good person intact in this particular instance, because I do think there is some chemistry there with Harley. It's a pairing that I didn't know that I needed, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Their entrance together is absolutely hilarious. The way that, Harley kind of like just hops on top of her like she's a Rocket on top of Groot.
Yes. That's a good way to describe it. Yes. Yeah,
I'm sitting there like, all right, is this too nerdy of a comment to say? But that's exactly what the dynamic between them is. So it works, and I want to see them stick with something with Statlander. So I'm hopeful that she will turn down the Death Riders ultimately, and then Marina Shafir is going to be like, all right, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to call him up. I'm going to call in my good friend, Shayna Baszler.
That'd be nice, because you'd have one thing on one side where someone just said, you know what, screw it. I've seen what you've done for Wheeler Yuta. What can you do for me? And on the other side, I've seen what you've done to Wheeler Yuta. I'm out of here, pal.
See ya. Bye. Out of here. See ya. We got Day Park 14 saying Riho and Emi Sakura are back. Shida to return soon. I hope so. I hope so. I know she's stateside again. It's only got to be a matter of time, right?
I would hope so too. I mean, with Riho back, I respectfully to Shida and Riho, they're two different people, two different women, two different competitors. But when one comes back, the other one's typically not too far behind. It's been my experience in AEW. Typically more so Shida, because Shida's been around more than Riho. But when Riho comes around, Shida's not too far behind. That's just been my experience.
After this 8-woman tag team match, we had the Toxic Triangle attack Chris Statlander, Toni Storm, and Mina Shirakawa, because Harley Cameron was already gone at this point. She and Megan Bain had fought up the ramp, and they were gone, so they were not involved in this. But Jamie Hayter, who was barred from ringside for this matchup, she rushed down to the ring to make the save, clears out the Toxic Triangle, then attempts to help up Toni Storm. And this was very interesting from the get-go. Toni was immediately suspicious of her. Like, why the hell are you, of all people, trying to help me up? And it's such a small thing. And it's one of the things that I really like praised WWE for when Bayley turned babyface finally and Bianca Belair was still like, hell no, get the hell away from me. I'm not just going to forget everything that you and I have been through because you're acting like a good girl now. And the, damage control has thrown your ass out. Like, we ain't cool. You still did a lot of shit to me. All right. It's such a small thing, but I love that. It's like that. Hey, I'm a good person and now you're a good person. So we can be friends now. Nah, throw that shit out the window. There's layers to this. It's nuance. So I love the fact that they were still like, no, we shouldn't be cool just because we're both baby faces in this situation. And Toni Storm was ready to throw down. She wants all challengers, all comers, all the time. She was thirsty for a four-way, and she threw out the challenge. Tekla, Chris Statlander, and Jamie Hayter against her at All Out.
I hate to say it like that. It's going to be a good match, but sure, I guess. Another win for Toni Storm. Respectfully, because like I like Thekla. I don't think there's enough meat on that bone to push that anywhere. I like Statlander, but I'm AEW, you never pull the trigger on Statlander, so I'm not sports convinced. And Jamie Hayter, I think if they're going to do it with you, they're going to have a storyline out of it. So I'm going to be sports entertained, but to me, this is a nothing burger. And I know that sounds a little harsh, but
I don't think it's as much of a nothing burger as you do. I do not think Tekla or Jamie Hayter is going to win this match. I don't think they have a chance of winning this match, mostly because I believe they are going to be so focused on each other that they are going to take themselves out of the equation at All Out. So it comes down to Toni and Chris Statlander, and C. Delgado with a super chat brings up a good point here. Wheeler Yuta potentially helps out Chris Statlander, possibly, or she rejects, leading to Marina coming after her. That is going to ultimately be the deciding factor here, I think. This is where the the decision is going to be made. Does Chris Statlander want to accept the help of the Death Riders and win the AEW Women's World Championship that way? Or does she shun them and it ultimately costs her the match against Toni Storm? Because Toni Storm is getting rather reckless with this. She's saying, I want all comers, all challengers. It doesn't matter how many. And eventually that's going to bite her in the ass. I think if you wanted to pull the trigger on a heel turn, you could have Wheeler Yuta help her win the world title at All Out. So there are options there. If they decide to go heel stat, I think she wins the belt. If they decide to go babyface stat, I think it's going to cost her against Toni Storm. And then Marina attacks afterwards.
My only rebuttal to that is that Toni has made the belt feel so important that in that scenario, it's taking a backseat to Chris Statlander. Sure. Will she, won't she? So I can see that. I think Tony's winning this regardless. I don't think there's any other outcome. However, maybe not the person she pins, but the other person in this match or two other people will be like, you didn't pin me. And I think there's a strong case for it to be Stat or Hater versus Toni later on down the line. And if we do that, I could totally see what you're saying. Well, Stat, now you've got a chance to win. I think winter is coming. That's January. What's after All Out?
Great question.
Full gear? No, full gear.
Is Full Gear Descent? No, Full Gear would be November. Yeah, Full Gear would be November. Is there one in October?
I'm sure the chat will correct us. But
Wrestle Dream is in October.
I could see something in between then where it's like you can build it up and do the Wrestle Dream and Toni doesn't lose then. I think whoever takes it off of Toni is going to be a very star-making moment. But I don't think that happens in a multi-man match where there's all of these other storylines going on. Yeah. I think what you all are saying about her rejecting the help from Marina and Wheeler Yuta may cause, because I think an All Out, what's her name? Oh my God. Shayna Baszler return? That's money right there. That's money. And maybe a Wrestle Dream, Harley Cameron Stat versus Marina Shafir and Shayna Baszler. That'd be great. But I do think that there is something for Toni even with Stat. But it has to be a one-on-one. And this just reeks of me like, you want some fine, fancy women's wrestling? Yes, sir. But hey, Toni's winning.
To me, tonight was the first step of doing Jamie Hayter eventually beating Toni for the title. Mm-hmm. I think once Jamie Hayter is done with Tekla, that's what's next. So whether that happened, I think Wrestle Dream would probably be a little too soon, but maybe you do it at Full Gear. Maybe you wait till World's End. But I feel like with everybody that Toni has already beaten, Jamie kind of feels like the person, at least right now, Jamie feels like the person who's going to take the title off of her.
I wish it was Bane.
At some point, Megan Bain will win the world title. But just the way that Jamie had to give it up, right? Because she got hurt.
Yeah.
She was out for a really, really long time. Her reign was just cut short. And she really hasn't had the opportunity to pick up where she left off.
That's true, too.
So it makes a ton of sense for that history to be revisited, especially between her and Toni and everything that they've already been through, and to have that match and have her be the one that knocks off Toni Storm. I think that just makes way too much sense to me. We'll see. We got plenty of time to get there. Sad moment tonight. Sad moment tonight as Juice Robinson and Austin Gunn said goodbye to the cardboard cutouts of their injured stablemates. Pour one out for your homies. They said it was fun carrying them around, but now it is time to get serious and figure out what is next for them. What did you make of that tonight, Cresta?
I choose to be sports entertained, so I want a little conspiracy theory. Right before this, there was an Ace Austin video package, and curiously enough, they brought up that he was in the Gun Club, even though Ace and Bay weren't really like Bullet Club members. So when they said, we're going to try to pick up our pieces and try to move on because we can't be guns up because we've been really down. Okay, AEW is the land of factions. Ace Austin with the Bang Bang Gang, to me, that's free. That's free money right there. Ace gets a good rub. I think these guys would be dynamic together. Don't know how that works. Whenever Colton comes back and whenever Switchblade comes back. So I would be for that, but I don't know what to make of this. I don't want them to break up. I think that all four of these men together elevate each other, but I want them to be in the position of the Hurt Syndicate, of the Death Riders. However, I am very well aware that unfortunately for this group, their injury seems to find them. Them in top flight seems injury seems to find these groups all the time.
Yeah, they are cursed. Like I and the fact that's, you know, Jay White, I mean, he's going to be out till 2026 at this point. Yeah, sucks. His entire run in AEW has been just
cursed.
That's really the only word that can describe it. We also had Anthony Bowens cutting another backstage promo tonight, or it was an interview. Excuse me. It was a backstage interview. And he was once again touting everything that he's been doing for AEW outside of the ring, and wondering why he's not getting any real opportunities to elevate himself inside of the ring. And then Jerry Lynn, of all people, interrupts him tonight. And I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? And Jerry is basically like, look, I've been watching you for 5 years. You've gone through the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. Forget about Billy Gunn. Forget about Max Caster. You need to look deep down in yourself and figure out what the hell it is you're missing. Okay. I'm intrigued. I still think he's turning heel, like full-fledged, you know, heel. And I think that's what he's going to find out is he's missing, is he's just harboring onto those feelings of being a good person.
You think he's
why be good when you can whoop that ass? You know what I'm saying?
He's going to pull a Christian. I look deep inside of myself and I realize I'm perfect. I agree with you. I think if we're talking about Anthony Bowens and we were just talking about Switchblade, Jay White, both of those men need to take Madame Zeroni back up that hill, because I don't know what y'all did. I don't know what I don't know what's happening. Because I think, again, we talk about this every week. We're like, where Max Caster is, we thought Anthony Bowens would be. And where Anthony Bowens is, we thought where Max Caster would be. And somehow they've destiny swapped. This man has cornied himself into popularity. And the guy's supposed to be the pride of pro wrestling. We're kind of like, all right. All right, good for you, Val. And that's so crazy. So he might have to go full Christian. You're perfect. Or I kind of took this as, you got one old dude saying something to you. You got another old dude saying something to you. Randy Orton, Legend Killer. It's time to kill these old men. I hear voices in my head. You already got the Randy Orton 09 haircut. It's just time to go crazy. Just go crazy.
I don't hate that idea. I don't hate
that. Can you imagine that?
At all.
No, I'm literally imagining Anthony Bowens doing an RKO with some old man. Where the rock and roll is at? You're not going to only job for the Young Bucks. Bring them back. Bring back these old men.
I'm still over here trying to recover from that Holes deep cut you just dropped a few minutes ago.
There's a lot of people in wrestling that need to take Madame Zeroni up the hill. I won't get into specifics, but those two in particular, I don't know what you did. I don't know. But that might be a start.
We had Kyle Fletcher coming out, rocking that pink three-piece suit, issuing a challenge to Hangman Adam Page. He wants to face him for the AEW World Championship at All Out, and he has no problem putting him on the injured list if he turns him down, just like he did to Kenny Omega. I'm conflicted by this one, Cresta, because yes, I agree with the chat. Kyle Fletcher is a star. Kyle Fletcher is the future face of AEW. I don't think there is any denying that. Kyle Fletcher is also a future AEW world champion. It ain't going to be at All Out. He's not beating Hangman Adam Page. He's not winning the AEW world championship this month. I would much rather him focus on retaining the TNT championship and make this. I had the same problem. I had the same problem when They put the IC title on Lyra Valkyria earlier this year, and immediately she spent like the first 2 or 3 months of her reign trying to win other championships. No, stop that shit. Stop it.
Yeah.
You have a title already. Defend the damn thing and focus on that. But at the same time, this match is going to slap. So I'm conflicted.
That's AEW's problem with a lot of their matches. I know this is going to be good. I just want it to make sense. Yeah, it makes sense. You're going to punch the guy in the face. All right, yeah. But just come on, dog. Like, try. Kyle's suit looked nice tonight. Don's suit always looked nice tonight. Why they had Josh Alexander in the tracksuit? Not even the Canadian tuxedo, just the tracksuit.
Look, there's a lot of questions I could ask about what they're doing with Josh Alexander. Having him wear a tracksuit is the least of them.
He's been getting wins. Yes, and you know how I feel about Josh Alexander. So the fact that they let him talk tonight, even better. Even better. I agree with you. I love Kyle Fletcher. I do think he's a future world champion. Defend your TNT title. I've seen people in chat say this, and I have the same problem. People get the TNT championship. I want to be double champion. I want to go and climb Mount Everest. I want to sing the songs I want to sing. Brother, defend your championship. Wasn't when Dustin had it, he defended every other one of his 50 championships besides that one. Who had it before him? Oh, the last guy who had it before him was injured. It had to be vacated. It was Adam Cole. How many times did Adam Cole defend it?
I think like 4 or 5, maybe. They were building him up. They were building him up.
Chris is getting mad. So I have to bring myself back down. Like, yes,
now, to be fair, Dustin only had it for like 2 weeks. And I think he defended it twice. So he averaged like 1 a week at least.
Stop. Stop.
That's the same average of knees he had to have replaced. So, you know.
I couldn't resist.
Love you, Dustin. Hope the recovery goes well. I genuinely mean that. I'm sorry. It's late. I couldn't hold that one back.
Wrestling. All right, what are we talking about? God damn it.
we made it to our main event. Kenosuke Takeshita defeating Mark Briscoe. Briscoe needed to win this to get a shot at the TNT Championship. So God forbid he win it so Kyle Fletcher would have to defend the title. No. Can't have that. Can't have that. Because MJF said, screw this honeymoon. I'm coming into Philadelphia the night after my wedding. And I am screwing Mark Briscoe out of that TNT title opportunity. Was it Nigel who was on commentary tonight who said he hates Mark Briscoe more than he loves his wife?
He did.
It was hard to disagree with that.
MJF said, I'm fucking tonight. It's not my wife. I know that was inappropriate. I'm sorry. Happy congratulations to the newlywed couple.
Yes.
But I thought the same thing. Like, yo, shouldn't you be like going to Hawaii, Fiji, Myanmar, something? Nah, you came here to make sure the chicken farmer got nothing. That's hate.
And I'm with Megan on this one, by the way. MJF was the last damn person I was expecting to see tonight. So when he showed up, I was genuinely surprised. I'm like, okay. Because I was wondering, how was Mark Briscoe losing this match? Because I didn't think for a second he was winning. Didn't think for a second that he was winning this. So to have MJF come out, shove him off the top rope when he was going for the frog splash, that allowed Takeshita to hit Raging Fire and pick up the win. And I love what MJF immediately did. He shoves him off and he just like straight up flat backs it on the floor. Like, I ain't here. No one saw shit. I didn't do a damn thing. Also, I love that Takeshita tried to get in his face about it after he realized that MJF helped him win that matchup. And Don Callis had to kind of get in between and be like, hey, this ain't our beef. Accept the win. Take it. We're moving forward. We protected our boy, the proto star, and everything is fine. Get out of the way and allow MJF to handle his business. He proceeded to keep pounding on Mark Briscoe until security broke him up. And then finally he hops on the microphone and says, what did he say? He said, anytime, any place, I'll let you name the stipulation. Immediately we knew that this was going to be all out. But I did like the fact that Mark didn't immediately have a stipulation in mind. This man just went through a hellacious match. He just got his brains beat in. He's like, I got a lot of things churning in my mind. Let me take some time and figure out what this is going to be. I do agree with everybody in the chat. I hope it is a dog collar match that they end up going with.
Or maybe some sort of cage match. I just know it's going to be a plunder match regardless. So I think a few things happened there. Don Callis stand here. Don Callis says we'll take the win by any means necessary. But I understand Konosuke's frustration. I already told my family member, my good boy, Josh Alexander, to go to the bat because I could beat him. I didn't think Briscoe was winning. And quite honestly, I thought Takeshi was going to beat him clean. When Don Callis was out on commentary, I'm like, okay, there's your MacGuffin. No problem. I've seen this song and dance before. It makes sense. To see MJF come out there and screw him and Takeshi get mad, I understand Takeshita's position because if MJF does something for you, whether you ask him or not, he wants a favor back from you. That's just how he works. That's how he operates. He'll always remind you, but yeah, I saved you that one time from so-and-so. It's like, you didn't save me, pal. I don't want your help. Also, I like seeing MJF get beat up. To see MJF get beat up by the Alpha, oh, that's sports entertainment, baby. Briscoe versus MJF. Man, you're going to have to dig deep in your bag of tricks, MJF, to cheat. Because if Briscoe puts a dog collar match on you, you as your chicken shit heel persona, what's about to transpire? What's going to happen? I don't know. I want to know what's going to happen. I'm sports concerned because that's going to be disgusting. But I'm also sports intrigued.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people in the chat say ladder match for the contract. That would be interesting.
Oh, he still has his contract.
He does. Yep. He does. So that could be interesting. Or
because nah, Briscoe would or, still if Briscoe wins, he'd still lose. I wouldn't want that.
Or how about an Inferno match?
Is that like the exploding barbed wire match?
No, that's exactly what it sounds like. It's you win by setting your opponent on fire. What did MJF try to do to Mark Briscoe just a couple weeks ago? He tried to set him on fire.
Rick, I mean this with the utmost respect. That's a little too New Japan and Noah for American audiences.
Oh,
If this is ECW,
WWE used to do that match all the time with Kane. Come on, maybe not all the time, but they've done it.
Not the "I'll set myself on fire." Not
Randy Orton, and Bray Wyatt did an Inferno match.
We did this with Cody Rhodes, and that did not go well in AEW. I think that Ricky Chino.
Look, that's like my guilty pleasure stipulation match. It's such a cool visual. You put a literal ring of fire around the damn ring and let him go. It's my guilty pleasure match. It's my guilty pleasure match. I love him. Love him so much. Like, just watching the Fiend Bray Wyatt burn to a crisp. Oh God! It is a memory I will carry with me forever.
The same Fiend that they stopped the match because it was too much hell in a cell. There was too much hell in that one cell.
Look, that man was plagued by bad booking. God love him. God rest him.
Oh man, a dog collar Inferno match. So I'd make sure that I'm not making that joke. Never mind. I'm not doing it. So you do
an Inferno match, right? And then you put a 30-minute time limit on it. And then after the 30-minute time limit, you get they just drop kerosene across the entire ring.
Rotisserie chicken.
It's not gonna happen. But if I could make a suggestion, do the Inferno match, please. Like, show me how twisted, sick, and stupid. Look, if I'm Mark Briscoe and somebody tried to set my ass on fire, best believe I'm making that happen for real. Just, it's going to be you.
So when Blake Christian has an Inferno match, y'all know where this came from. Rick, you sick fuck. You are truly a sicko.
I'm gonna will this to happen now. I'm gonna hit up TK's DMs. I'm gonna be like, yo, I'm just gonna write Inferno match. And I'm just gonna set Inferno match done. Signed, sealed, delivered. Do it.
Oh man, my chest hurts. I'm looking at chat. Someone made a WoW reference. I don't even know the WoW reference. I'm over here getting the visual of MJF, and man, Briscoe got like, he don't got his front two teeth, and you want to set him on fire? Please. Please.
Could you imagine the work that MJF would do if he even gets close to the fire? Like, MJF's character work alone would make that match worth watching.
MJF would crash out over a candle next to his face, let alone his hair. An actual Inferno match? MJF
would shit his pants in an Inferno match.
Honestly, the selling from that man would be, where's the absolute cinema? Actually, wait a minute. You might be onto something. Wait, you might have sold me.
I know I'm onto something. That man has 9 kids. He can't. Oh, God. Please, Tony Khan. I don't ask for much. Give me an Inferno match. Cresta, where can people find you after you come back from your sabbatical?
Guys, hey, this is my last speech, and I said it all 3 days, so I'll say it here as well. Mental health is important. Please take care of yourself. If you love somebody and you miss them, tell them that you love them, because tomorrow is not promised. Life is strange, and sometimes for not the right reasons. If you need Cresta Star in your veins while I'm gone, and even when I come back, you can find me on any form of social media at Cresta Star, except for Twitter, where it's Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. I'm here typically every Thursdays, most of the time Fridays now, and Saturdays. And wrestling is fantastic. Fightful is fantastic. Rikuchino is fantastic. Iridian, you're here with us in spirit. You guys are fantastic. Again, I cannot stress enough that mental health is important. Tell people that you love them and do the best that you can. Be kind to people, because you don't know what people are going through. Rick, where can the people find you?
Well, we had Ten Ruza has said, don't go, Cresta, stick around. She'll be back. Trust me, 6 weeks will go by quickly. Believe me, it's remarkable how fast time moves.
I'll be cackling in your ear in no time.
Calling me Blake Christian and shit. You can follow me on X at Rick Uccino, RickUccino. Follow my work over on The Takedown on SI. That is Sports Illustrated's pro wrestling website. And yes, we are to blame for the constant mentions on Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. Sorry, but not sorry. Shout out to my boy SP3. And we have a YouTube channel as well, The Takedown on SI. Follow us there. We are going to be putting out a show tomorrow talking about AJ Lee's big return to WWE. I have not stopped smiling since last night when she showed up. So myself and Zach Hadorn are going to be talking about that. Give us a like, give us a follow, subscribe to the channel, turn the notifications on. We got a lot of great stuff. We dropped an interview with Uncle Howdy not too long ago. So check that out, you Bray Wyatt fans. You're not going to want to miss that. And of course, subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel if you haven't already. Thank you guys so much for the super chats. Thank you for the humper chats. Give this video a thumbs up as well. And next week, I believe it'll be SP3 and Iridian, because Cresta is out. And I'm going to be taking my wife out for a night on the town in downtown Cincinnati. So I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.